There you go.
Taylor says, yay.
I don't know if you realize that, though. We are put here to worship God. God inhabits the praise of his people. So we're starting part two, Measurements of a Christian. I trust if you weren't here last week, you were able to watch or listen. Not that listening to my voice is, well, actually, I've heard it's soothing. It puts people to sleep. So if you are having trouble falling asleep at night, they say that's a good way to help you. But in all seriousness, I really trust you at least can watch that. So we're all on the same page. And really, especially today, this is such an important topic. We as humans place our own form of measurements on other people. And unfortunately, it's usually based on appearances. Well, they look this way, or they don't look that way. They don't look like a Christian because they're this way, or they look so high and mighty, they think they're so good. You know, those type of measurements we seem to put on people without even thinking about it. But God measures our Christianity by our obedience to him. And I wonder, how much and how well do each of us measure up on this subject? It's almost scary in a way to stop and think about it. Am I really obeying God? But you know what? It shouldn't be scary. It should be second nature to just be obedient. And the fact that I said it is scary shows us where we're at in society. Something's wrong. Obedience isn't an option. Christians today, or at least people that call themselves Christians, are not being completely obedient to Christ. There's a lot of this going on. You know it, I know it, it's obvious, and it's time for a change. I read this article to you last week, and I don't want to be redundant, but it is an excellent springboard, and I'm going to read it again, and I will read it again next week, so bear with me. But I feel like it gives a great springboard for the subject of obedience, and I think I have it printed there in your handout. God is measuring our lives not by the measures and standards of our culture or our age. He is measuring them by our character and by our walk with him. God and his word are intensely practical. All of the great general principles in the kingdom of God are illustrated and judged on the basis of the most specific details. Nothing is left in the abstract. Everything is brought down to the concrete situations in which believers live. God leaves no room anywhere for mere nominal Christianity. Jesus' most scathing words were not for the broken and degraded sinner who is condemned by society, but for the self-righteous and self-deceived religious people whose lives did not prove their claims to holiness, love, and relationship to God. Jesus called such people fools, hypocrites, blind guides, snakes, and whitewashed tombs. 7 times he referred to them as blind. 3 times he called them vipers. No condemnation seemed too strong for those who failed to practice their professed spirituality. This is in full harmony with his many other statements, indeed, with the whole trend of Bible thoughts. Perhaps the best illustration of this is the Bible emphasis upon obedience, an importance highlighted in both Old and New Testaments. The message of God is plain. Measure your life by how much you obey, not by how much you know, by how much you do, by how much you read or hear, by how much you walk in the light, by how much you claim to have fellowship with God. Measure your life by what you actually do for God, not what you intend to do. Measure your life by proofs in your daily living, not by your pious wishes. Obedience to God, glad, full, and humble obedience, is God's ordained key to much that is vital in Christian life. Only the obedient Christian enjoys the constant and undimmed blessing and favor of God. I trust and hope that you hear my heart in this series I'm giving you. I don't want to come across as harsh or to sound like I'm beating up on anyone, but I want you to hear my deep concern. There is entirely too much carelessness among people that call themselves children of God. Dedication to God means obedience, and that isn't happening like it should. So let's review just for a few moments what we discussed last week. First, obedience is the key. We talked about that subject last week. Obedience is the key to cleansing and holiness, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is no other way to maintain a holy life except to walk constantly in God's light. Obedience is also the key to healthy fellowship with other believers. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and that fellowship is called worship, what we just did here today. Christians coming together to lift each other up, to encourage one another, that brings glory to God in a beautiful way. Obedience is the key to spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 1 Corinthians 2:14 tell us that a non-believer, to them, these things seem foolish because they don't understand it. They don't have the Spirit living within them. There is much we can learn if we simply walk in his way and obey him and study his word. If we continue to obey him, we get to know more about him. Obedience is the key to confidence in prayer. John 3:21 and 22 tells us if our heart doesn't condemn us, we can have confidence when we're approaching God in prayer. Disobedience to our Father really cripples our prayers. And think about all those unanswered prayers because a person isn't living in obedience to God. You want to approach prayer with confidence? Then use the key of obedience to unlock that door. Obedience is also the key to blessing. James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a faithful or not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And this isn't earthly blessings like we often think of, but rather the blessing of growing closer and closer to God and knowing him better, which is an incredible blessing. Obedience is also the key to kingdom advance. Acts 1:8 tells us that we'll receive power when a spirit comes upon us, and then we'll be witnesses all over. The only way God's kingdom can advance is in two ways, through the Holy Spirit and the obedience of us as God's children. And what an awesome responsibility we have to share God's love. Are we doing our jobs? And that brings us to today's topic. That's number two in your handout, and that is obedience is the measure of spirituality. We'll use the word of obedience, the term obedience, in this portion as a measuring guide against several attributes or character traits that we as Christians need to possess, should be displaying, and you'll understand more about that as we go along here. But first, the measure of your love for Christ, or measure your love for Christ by your total obedience to him. I don't know what how you thought in this whole subject, but growing up, I wondered, how in the world can I love Jesus? Did anyone ever struggle with that? Am I the only one? I mean, I'd hear people testify in church and at camp, and I love Jesus with all my heart, and I want to do everything he wants me to do. You know those statements? And I'm not making fun of that, please understand. But I'd sit there and I'm like, really? So how do you know you love Jesus with all your heart? How do you know that? How do you love someone you can't see or touch? Humanly, it's hard to grasp. Don't get me wrong, I totally believed that Jesus was real, his spirit lived in me, I knew that. But how do I love him, or how, more importantly, how did I show that love? I mean, it's easy to show love to my wife. She can be seen and touched, right? And it's just as easy not to show love by doing the opposite. But Jesus, how do you do that? Well, it wasn't terribly long ago that this subject became very clear to me in one of those wow moments. And it was due to some Bible study that I had done and opened my eyes. And I'll just share some of those passages. It should be printed there in front of you. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Matthew 12:50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. John 14:15, and this is the big one, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are these passages saying? If you want to show your love to Christ, obey him. I realize as a parent, I feel loved when my boys obey me. Oh yes, the hugs are amazing and they're really special, but obedience is when I feel truly loved, because it's when the actions are living it out. When they do exactly what I told them to do, like, oh, that's love. And this is when it became a really big wow moment for me. Maybe I'm late to the game or slow bloomer, I don't know. But it was an eye-opener for me. We can't see or touch Jesus. Yes, we can see what he does and touch things he's created. So we can't show him love in the same way we show human love to other people. But we can obey him and what he tells us in his word. So you say that you love Jesus? Does he know that? Do you obey him? That's how we show our love to him. So the way to measure your love for our Savior is to use the measuring tool of obedience. And how often do we obey? Don't just brush this off. Think about it. Pray about it. Second, we use the measuring tool of obedience to measure your faith by your obedience. We use the measuring tool of obedience to measure our faith. This is another subject that has been abused by some and misunderstood by others, this whole faith thing. First, what does obedience have to do with faith? We first need to understand what faith really is. Having faith in another person means you completely trust them. I might have faith, complete faith in my wife's ability to get in the car and drive. Maybe not so much to get in my truck and drive, but in the car. But I never have that faith in my boys right now. If I have faith in a person, it means I trust them or I find them honest and reliable. It's really becoming, and I think all of you would agree, harder and harder and harder to find individuals that you can really depend on and trust. How does the Bible define faith? Well, the most common verse is Hebrews 11:1, and I don't have that printed there, but you should know this one. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you say you have faith in Jesus, it means you believe his words are true. This then trickles down to what you have faith in. You have faith that heaven is real, that he loves you, that he died for you, and so on and so forth. What faith is not is a tool for discouraging others. I've heard it said many times, when a person wasn't healed from such and such a problem or delivered from a situation, they didn't have enough faith. And those situations make me very mad. Or as a preacher friend that I used to know would say, well, I'm sorry, not mad, righteously indignant. You don't measure a person's faith by whether they believe God will do what they want him to do. You measure a person's faith by their obedience to what God says. James 2:20 states, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, what faith that faith without works is dead?" A person can say they are a tower of faith all they want, but if they don't act on it, then their words are useless. So what does this acting on faith look like, and how can it be measured by obedience? And I'll try to put these thoughts into words, and hopefully I can get this across. First, having faith in God means that you trust him to know what's best for you. Because we need to understand that we don't think like he does. Isaiah 55:8 tells us that his thoughts aren't like our thoughts and his ways aren't like our ways. And even Job says that he'll still trust him even though he slay me. I'm a firm believer that true faith is trusting God even when he doesn't do what we tell him to do. How many times do we think faith is just telling God to do something and expect he'll do it? Does it take more faith to trust him for healing or to trust him for strength and grace if healing doesn't take place like we thought it should? Having faith in Jesus means we exercise it with obedience. We obey what his word says. We trust when we don't understand. And if we can't trust, then we take that to him too, because he tells us to cast our burdens on him. Having faith might just mean that we don't act like we have everything under control, because we certainly don't. True obedience requires a lot of faith. Faith in a God we can't see, but trusting His words are true. Lord, I'll obey Your word and still trust You, even when things don't go my way. That's faith. Then the third one in this section, measure your consecration by your obedience. Consecration is more of a holy or scriptural word. We would use the term dedication more today, describing someone's complete commitment to something or someone. To make it more understandable, one could say consecration is spiritual dedication, complete commitment to the things of God. So let's look at how obedience is our measurement of spiritual dedication or dedication to Christ. Consecration means that at the very core of who we are devoted to serving Jesus. It's very easy to put on a show and make it look like we are devoted to Jesus, but inside, we know it's a different story. When King Saul didn't completely obey what God told him to do because it benefited him more to only partially obey, this is what Samuel told him in 1 Samuel 15:22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Oh, it might look like, and I'm assuming most of you would know the story, but Saul didn't kill the one king he was supposed to. He kept him alive and saved some of the stuff. And yeah, that sounds like a harsh story, but God told him to destroy it all, and Saul didn't. He disobeyed. Maybe it looked like he was having compassion, but he still didn't obey God. To obey is better than formal worship or to give sacrificially. All religious ceremonies are valueless apart from obedience. To give one's goods to the poor and one's own body as a martyr means nothing to God unless we have the love that acts in accordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've experienced numbers of times that it was easier for a person to look the part rather than live it out. It's very easy to put on a false front of something we're not, but how much dedication do we really have to God? When we're not around people who know better, do we still live like a Christian? When we know no one else is watching, do we do things that Christians shouldn't do? Do we put on airs of spirituality only to have a heart that is selfish and harsh towards others? Total consecration to Jesus Christ means we follow His example and treat people with love. We don't play favorites. We don't judge a person for where they're at, but rather lovingly show them a better way if that's what's needed. Consecration or dedication to Jesus means more than a good outward appearance. It means obedience deep in the heart. And then the last one for this section, measure Christ's lordship in your life by your obedience. I'm sure you've all heard the statement, Christ needs to be pilot and we be the co-pilot, right? And I'm sure many of you have heard the song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I know that as Christians, we all say that Jesus needs to be master of our life, but do we live that out? Is Jesus in charge? Jesus even asked that question in Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? How long would a person stay at a place of employment if they didn't do what their boss told them to do when they told them to do it? How long can someone remain a Christian and say that Jesus is boss, but they don't obey? See, I think too often we want to bear the title of Christian, yet still be in control of our lives. And you know what? God's a gentleman. He'll let you do that. He won't push. He's not controlling, even though He needs to be in control. If we don't let Him be Lord of everything, He won't push. But it's only going to be our loss in the end. There's a song that says, is Jesus Lord of all? All of your longings, all of your dreams, all of your plans, all of your secrets, all of your thoughts? If Jesus is truly Lord of all, then our obedience should reflect that. We're talking about obedience. Today, it's a subject that does not receive enough attention. And I'd like to finish by reading a story. And listen closely to this. I do not have it printed there. I added it after I had that handout done. Imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, "Look, I'm going to leave. And while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You will manage things while I'm away. I will write you regularly. And when I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I return from this trip." And everyone agrees. He leaves and stays away for several years. During that time, he writes often, communicating his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything is in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building, the gal at the front desk is sleeping, loud music roaring from several offices, two or three people engaged in horseplay in the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together and with a frown, he says, "What happened? Didn't you get my letters?" You say, "Oh yeah, sure, we got all your letters. In fact, we even bound them into a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday. You know, they were really great letters." I think the president would then ask, "But what did you do about my instructions?" And no doubt the employees would respond, "Do? Well, nothing. But we read every one." And I wonder, is that how we obey God and His Word? It's a sobering thought. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the truth that is there. And I pray that you'll help us to commit our lives to obeying you, what you tell us to do, and living that out, an example for others. The world is a mess, and we as Christians need to be the example of love that you have for us and showing that to the world around us. And that only happens with obedience. And I pray that you'll help each one of us to commit right now that we're going to be completely obedient to you. We thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do for us. Guide us today. In your name, amen. Thank you for coming.